Hello and welcome to Launch. We're broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Ron Reardon, and I'm joined in the studio by our producer, Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee. How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
That's good.
You had travel. I had travel. We had an exciting week for us. We usually don't travel.
I tell you what, you go one way, I'm going the other way, and now we're back. You know,
that's it.
Well, Lee, you know, on Launch, we feature innovators, entrepreneurs, and related companies, providing our listeners with the opportunity to learn from the successes and failures of launching an idea, and especially the journey that follows. And this morning, we're going to be featuring Donnie Davis of DMG Worldwide, Inc. But before we get started, Lee, could you thank today's sponsors?
Absolutely. Today's show is brought to you by Patents & More, from conception to protection to reception in the marketplace. Patents & More.
Okay, and thank you. Well, you know, Donnie Davis is the CEO for Diversified Management Group Worldwide, which is a full-service accounting and business management firm specializing with small, mid-sized companies and startups. You know, Donnie's been 25 years in accounting and management, and he's a member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, the Georgia Society of Preferred Public Accountants, and the National Association of Black Accountants. Well, Donnie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. And you had a long journey to get over here, right?
It has been a journey.
Okay. So when I look at the name, you know, Diversified and everything, what exactly is your business?
Sure. Diversified Management Group is a management group that is really catered to the entrepreneur at heart, the small business at heart. We focus on the accounting or the back end part of things that the independent doesn't have a whole lot of knowledge about, as well as the management part of it, assisting them to make the management decisions as far as operations are concerned, system implementations are concerned.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Well, I know that when entrepreneurs start a business, I mean, there's kind of a mixture of emotions. I mean, there's the excitement of starting something new, and then there's apprehension that sometimes the apprehension goes just to plain old fear. What really scared you the most in building your company?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. You're right to say, Ron, that there is a lot of fear involved. When I first started, I was too young. How do they say, too stupid to know that you shouldn't. And I went at a lot of things sort of whimsical, if you will. And so in the earlier years, there was a lot of trial and error. So when we talk fear, I guess I was sort of afraid of failing, although I was failing. But it all led to the journey that got me here.
Okay. Yeah, I tell entrepreneurs often that when you start a new venture, generally about 10% of your effort is going to really pay off. The problem is you don't know which 10% it is.
Absolutely.
So you got to put in 100% to figure out what that 10% is. Because I know looking back at my business, you know, I could have tossed 90% of it that just didn't produce any kind of results
at
all.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know that in that, you know, in that first year, you know, the apprehension and the fear continued to grow as the year went on, and, you know, clients were kind of scarce. You know,
yes.
It takes a while to get that momentum going.
It does. It takes a minute to find your rhythm. And what you're doing is you're looking for your rhythm in business. And once you find that rhythm and you look for the yeses, you know. And so as I began to get the yeses is when I began to really find my rhythm and understand that this thing actually can work. I just got to work out the kinks.
Now, when you were in that stage and you started getting the yeses, what did you learn from them? Like, how did you discern, like, this is a good yes as opposed to maybe this yes isn't as good and I should focus more in this area as opposed to this? You know, because you can only do one thing at a time, right, at any given time. So how do you know what that thing is?
I'll say one of the most important things is to know what you're good at. I'll say that early on, I tried to be a master of many and was good at very, very little. And so once I began to cut off the fat of everything else and just focus on one particular thing that I was good at, that's when the yeses came.
Yeah, and boy, I've seen that pattern a lot.
Absolutely.
I've seen so many folks that, you know, they're bright people, and they say, you know, just give me a problem, I'll solve it. It doesn't make any difference what the problem is. You know, I'm bright, I can do it. And they try to be, you know, Accenture, and it's just them, you know, or you know, one of the big firms.
Yes.
And once they get laser focused, you know, just like a rifle, and just say, this is my niche right here.
Yes.
Instead of trying to be all things to all people and to be an expert in a niche, then things start clicking for them.
That is correct.
Yeah, and that's just very, very important. Well, how important is faith in business?
I'll tell you, and from a standpoint of a entrepreneur, a true entrepreneur, at some point, I believe that all entrepreneurs will experience this part of them that they never knew, and that part is faith. At some point, you'll realize that faith is the only thing that you have, is when everyone else tells you no, when your spouse no longer believes that it will work, when mom and dad says, well, son or daughter, I don't know, you know, you want to do what? And your friends just don't believe in it anymore. You have to find something inside of you that's greater than you that gives you that momentum to push forward and to keep going. So faith for me is very, very important.
Yeah, I know that towards the end of my first year in business, when things weren't happening very much, you know, my wife's looking at me. She says, do you think you might need to go get a job? And that was, you know, I'd had a job for 32 years, and that's the last thing I wanted to
do. You didn't want that. You knew that.
Yeah. And it's almost like they say that there's no atheist in a foxhole, you know, when the shells are incoming. And I think, you know, when you're getting towards that, they say that motivation is when the stomach and the backbone kind of meet and say, you know, hi there, you know.
I'll tell you a funny story real briefly. We speak about faith. I didn't even know in my early years, and, you know, mind you, I'm newly married at the time, and I didn't even know that they repossessed trash cans. Yeah. So, yeah, I came home one day, and my trash can was gone, you know, with the notice in the mailbox saying we picked it up. So, you know, at that point in time,
that's a new one on me. That's getting kind of grim right there.
Yeah.
That's a wake-up call. That's for sure.
Something got to turn quick.
But I bet those experiences are what helps you with your clients now. Isn't that right?
Most definitely. I mean, it's not a client that doesn't come in that has not experienced some level of hardship in some respect. The one thing that I like to always utilize in any session that I have is to tell them that money doesn't matter at this point. We need to stop focusing on money. We need to focus on what the true situation is. And the ability of understanding a financial statement gives me that leverage where I can put the financial aside and focus on the concept, focus on the system, focus on the operation. What's really going on? What is your expectation? And where are your numbers? And let me sort of define what's in between.
So when you're working with your client, you know, some accountants are like, you just dump off your stuff and then you get the tax return and that's the only interaction you have with your accountant. And your firm seems a little different, that you get more involved.
Absolutely. We try to not only compile the financials, you know, that's of course a part of our service, but more importantly, we like to build a relationship with the client to have that management or partnership, if you will, where they have the ability to phone in or call in and ask systems questions. Well, what about billing? I can't seem to, my sales are good, but my cash flow is poor. Where am I going wrong at? Well, we need to take a look at your billing cycle. Do you have a consistent billing cycle? Is it a receivable issue? Is it just you are faced with poor clients, if you will? As far as their, maybe we should be looking at some sort of different target, or is it a product line issue? So, I mean, we try to be a little bit more hands-on with our clients.
Okay. Well, I know that one of the things that I learned in the first couple of years is that there are certain clients that you don't want.
Yes.
I kind of call them the wimpy clients from, I don't know if you remember, Popeye from many, many years ago.
Yes.
There was this big fat guy called Wimpy, and his famous line was, "I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today."
Absolutely.
You don't want that kind of client.
And those clients are out there, so we can, I mean, they're very, very easy to come by, and those are the ones that we try to isolate. And again, when you're in your early stages of business, you find a lot of those, and you don't necessarily know that they're there because they all have a need. And so we have to sort of define who is the prime client that we can solidify a need to and our services to.
Yeah. I know that I've come up with a variety of phrases whenever, you know, all the alarm bells go off in my head and it's like, this is a client I don't want. And sometimes I'll say things like, "Well, I'm not accepting any more clients at this time."
Yes.
Or
for the sake of this conversation.
Yeah,
that's what you mean, right?
Correct.
When he leaves, then you'll be taking more clients.
That's right. Well, and the other one is, I just don't think that we'd be a good fit for each other. You know.
Yes. Honesty in business goes a long way, and sometimes it's. I mean, just the other day, I received an email from a good friend of mine, that's referred some business to me, but you know, some things you just gotta keep moving forward on. You know, all business is not good business,
right? And that's something you learn over time. Like you said, when you're starting out, you'll take anybody, but as you are in business for a while, you start becoming more selective.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, especially if they say, "Well, you know, I don't have any money right now, but I've got this investor that's promised me that they're going to fund this operation."
How many times have I heard that one?
You've heard that one
too.
Oh,
man.
I think I'll wait then. I think, you know, wait.
Yeah. I've even had it, you know, the investor sent the check and the check went in the bank and then the check bounced.
Yes.
You know, this is for the client, not for me. You know, but they're telling me they'll pay me as soon as the check came in. It's, "Oh, you know, I arrived today. I put in the bank," and then they come back and says it bounced. You know,
I think that's like a pickup line in business.
Right?
Is that it? That's even better than "come up to my apartment, see my seahorses," right? Or something like that. Well, I know you use something that's got the acronym STEAM, STEAM. What is STEAM?
STEAM: structure, timing, efficiency, accuracy, and maintenance.
Okay.
All important factors when we talk about this journey to get these numbers to act the right way and the way that we want them to match up to what we expect in business.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, again, those are the areas that we try to focus on. Structure as far as our systems, are our systems in place? Timing, mm-hmm. Is it the right timing as far as industry is concerned? I mean, maybe it's not the right time that we release this new product line. The efficiency of your systems. You know, are we really, again, back to our billings or our payables? Is it efficient? This is where we cut our costs at, where we find our cost-saving areas at, and the accuracy of our numbers. We got to have accurate data. We have to have accurate numbers. We have to do a comparison to make sure that we are on track with the industry itself. And then, of course, maintenance. How do we maintain it? We want to, once we get all of this in place, all of these systems in place, we have to just maintain it so it will give us the results that we're looking for.
Yeah. Whenever I see the word timing, because you're right, timing is so important.
Yes.
Two things come to mind. One is that you know Johnny Carson, you know, was really famous, you know, with the Tonight Show and everything. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people don't realize is he sat on a little bitty pillow that actually had embroidered on it a little phrase that said, "It's all in the timing." And every time he'd come in, he'd look at that pillow before he sat down in his chair, remembering that, you know, delivery, you know,
absolutely
of his lines and everything was important.
Absolutely.
And the other is that, you know, especially in the world of innovation, you know, you can come up with an innovation before the market's ready for it. The one that I remember is the device that would actually slice bread. You know,
yes.
You always hear this thing about, well, that's the best thing since sliced bread.
Yes.
Well, the inventor that came up with a machine for commercially slicing bread, he got a patent on it. And none of the companies were interested in it, okay? This is before we had sliced bread. They just had loaves of bread, and you sit there and you slice it in your home. And his patent expired, and he died. And 20 years later, Colonial decided that they would start slicing bread and selling it to consumers. So he was way ahead of his time.
Interesting.
Had a good invention, you know, got it protected, and nobody wanted it. He was too early.
And how many stories of that do we find, you know, just in history itself with innovations and different things that are introduced to the market that are before their time?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Post-it notes, the glue that didn't stick well was discovered in 3M 10 years before Art Fry, being in the church choir and trying to figure out a way to keep tabs on all the different songs they were going to.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, we got a glue back at the office that this guy's been going up and down the halls trying to figure out a use for it. And if we put it on pieces of paper, you know, that would solve my problem. Okay, so he was the inventor of the Post-it notes, but it was using a glue that had been invented 10 years earlier.
And it failed. It was a glue that wasn't useful.
Yeah, they're like, you know, who wants a glue that doesn't stick well?
Right.
What would you use that for?
Right.
And that, but now Post-it notes is just a huge, you know, it was a solution just waiting for the proper time. You know? That's true. Okay, well, steam. So, you know, how does steam help service your clients?
Well, one of the things, one of the unique things about it is with steam, when we have a potential client that comes in, and they'll usually have a good idea of what is wrong per se, at least as far as what's on their mind at this point. But when we use the steam method, it gives us the opportunity to sort of remove layers. And what we're trying to help this business owner or this entrepreneur do is get to the root of the problem. And by using this steam method, it allows us to time it out, not overwhelm the business owner, stage it out, and one step at a time. We focus on the structure. We focus on systems. We focus on their financials. We look at is their objectives meeting up with industry standards, and are their objectives meeting up with what their expectations are, and how do we get there? And so it really gives us the opportunity to just stage it out, and it could take anywhere from 30 days to 2 years. I mean, it just really, really gives the business owner the option to do it at their own pace.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a really good construct because, I mean, it spells the word steam, and everybody knows that there's power, you know, in steam. So did you come up with this structure yourself?
It was myself and the team.
Okay. I mean, did you start with the acronyms, or did you start up with what they stood for and rearranged it like the thing in the paper to come up with the word?
It was a mixture of the two, actually. You know, just what's really understanding the heart of an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You know, and understanding, again, doing it wrong for so long and knowing the right way, it was sort of a blended situation. Just this is what's really core to an entrepreneur. What are they really missing? We can all make money. This is what, you know, it doesn't take a very hard or intelligent person to make money, if you will. Mm-hmm. But how do we make money the right way, and how do we make it last? And that's where steam sort of the birth of it, if you will.
Okay. Well, when you look at those five elements, when potential clients come to you, is there any particular one that really stands out that's really the problem child more than anything else?
Structure. Yeah.
They've just been winging it. Right?
They've been winging it.
Okay.
In sales, you can make money on the front end, but as long as it's coming in, we leave the wife right to figure it out on the back end.
Right. Is that how it goes? When you have money coming in, that you think that's your biggest challenge always, right? So then things slide, and you don't pay attention to the stuff in the back end until the money slows down, and then all of a sudden the house of cards sometimes comes down.
Absolutely. And again, if it's our job to sell, we're going to be the best at doing our job, which is selling. But the unique thing of it is now that we're an entrepreneur, our job is to run a company.
Right.
And so we have to learn how to manage multiple hats. But usually we're just focusing just on our job, which is to sell.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between working in the business and on the business.
And on the business, absolutely.
Yeah. I've actually heard stories of patent agents and attorneys that are solo practitioners that were so busy, you know, writing patents for clients that they just didn't have time to create and send out an invoice.
Yes.
I mean, that just blows my mind. It's like you didn't even send out an invoice. I mean, you just go from client to client, you know, writing the patent, submitting it, you know, and responding to the patent office, but no invoices are sent.
No invoices.
Well, Donnie, when you're working with clients, has that ever happened where a person will come to you and go, I'm having a sales problem because I don't have any money? And then you start looking around, you're like, well, it seems like you have enough sales. You have a collection problem. You're not collecting enough money.
All of the time, more often than not. What one of the core things that I like to start with when I sit with new clients is there are four aspects of business. There's sales, operations, finance, and administration. Which one are you not focusing on? And usually it's an aha moment. Where, I didn't know that.
I didn't know there were four. I thought it was just selling and then just doing selling. The work.
I sell to you, you pay me, and we keep going.
Right.
Okay. So it's kind of like a deer in the headlight moment there. Oh, golly. Yeah, there's nothing like an acronym that or a construct to just say, you know, here's the elements. You know, which one you're not doing? You're like, this one right here.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, I guess maybe they look like a scolded child at some time, you know.
I mean, when it's really, really funny. I mean, I work very, very closely with husband and wife teams or partnership teams, if you will. And it's always funny to just watch the expressions change on the faces. Namely, the husband is usually doing the sales and the wife is usually managing the finances and she's doing the bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. And she's overwhelmed, you know, she's overwhelmed by far. But when the husband begins to understand the other parts of it, he's just like, you know, the cell phone rings and where he got to go and take a call really quick because he wants to get up out of it, you know, really, really quick, right. Really, really quick.
Because in that construct of sales, operations, finance, and administration, the guy's really only caring about the sale.
Absolutely.
And the wife is the one that's handling the other
Absolutely.
Three. So that's why she's overwhelmed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she's looking at me like, I need your help
right.
now.
So you're really the friend of the wife.
Yes.
That's a mess. So if you know, if someone comes to you and their business is just a mess, okay, what's the time frame for, you know, things starting to look better? You know, is it 1 month, 1 year, 2 years before things?
Now, when you work with Donnie, it's like an hour, right?
An hour. There you go. that's a great question, Ron. And I'll say the first thing that I try to give them is a bit of peace. In business, peace is so hard to find when you know in the back of your mind that there's something missing, but you're not sure. And so what I try to give them is some peace, to let them know that they have help and to show them that, okay, yeah, it might be a very challenging situation right now, but this is what you're here for. You're definitely in the right place. So you can expect to walk away with a sign of relief, first and foremost. From there, that's where the work begins for me. And because, you know, me and my company, we enjoy what we do. You know, we try to build a good friendship, a good relationship with the new customer or the new client, if you will.
Yeah, and there's a tremendous value on peace. If they're waking up at 4 a.m. with anxiety attacks, to not have that at 4 a.m, that's worth quite a bit.
When you talk about taxes and, you know, let's get past April 15th, but just the core of taxes, you find that a lot. That, you know, you hear the stories of they've been, you know, up 4 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning stressing on, you know, I don't know what to do. And if Uncle Sam is coming and, you know, when they sit down with me, they, again, we all know as entrepreneurs in the back of our mind that there is something wrong. We just don't know what it is. And so when we sit down, we have the conversation of payroll tax and sales tax, income tax. And again, they know, they may not know how to pinpoint it. And so, again, this gives them that, takes that weight off their shoulder.
Yeah, I've heard that the one fear that's really difficult for us to deal with is fear of the unknown.
The fear of the unknown.
But, you know, once it's quantified, it's like, oh, okay.
Yes, this is the worst that it can get.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And now I know what to expect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's something. So your services, are they affordable or do you need to, you know, mortgage your home and everything else to be able to talk to you?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I would like to think that they're affordable. I mean, we're talking a situation where bare minimum, we're talking at the about $175. You know, on an hourly basis. Mm-hmm. So nothing that will make you, you know, auction off the cars or anything.
Okay.
But is this a retainer kind of relationship or is this I'm paying for a project? How do you typically contract with your clients?
It goes on a retainer situation initially. And then it goes from a retainer to project, depending on, we go back to the STEAM situation, and we can project it out. If we're just focusing on structure, then that's a project. Well, we'll just focus on your structure. And it works out namely for the client itself, really, to pace themselves. It's not a rush situation. In business, the beautiful thing about business is that we have time. As long as we're doing it the right way, we have time. So it's designed for the customer.
Okay. Well, you know, the last couple of years have been challenging for a lot of folks and a lot of businesses. But I think there's also been, while existing businesses, you know, have seen, you know, things kind of go down, there's also been a tremendous amount of resurgence of people starting their own business.
Yes.
And it's mainly because, you know, maybe they got laid off and their only option is to crank up a new business.
Yes.
Yeah. So have you experienced that?
That has been, believe it or not, that was the whole mindset behind DMG, mm-hmm. Is knowing that at some point in time, that there was going to be a great demand of individuals leaving the workforce, looking to supplement income, looking to be pushed into that direction of, you know what, it's my time to shine. It's my time to take that step out and that leap of faith. And so we wanted to have a service that would be there to satisfy that need.
Yeah, I think I've read that the number of large corporations has been shrinking since 1950 or
yes.
something like that.
Yes.
Long time.
Absolutely.
And you also see statistics that says that small businesses is really where the job growth is and where the economic growth is.
Yes, 600,000 small businesses to date, and you know, it's still growing. So, you know, it's a great demand for it.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, you know, what's a few common areas that small businesses just really misunderstand?
Sales and their billing, their cash flow. You find that when we talk about sales, they expect that because they've sold that they're profitable, because that they have made or there's cash in a bank, I should say, mm-hmm. that they're actually profitable. I had a client in just a week ago that it was a husband and wife team, and guy says, we're going over the financials, and I'm asking the wife, well, do you know what your bottom line is? And she's looking like, well, and it's a startup, mind you. And she's like, well, we're about $114,000 in the red. And I'm like, okay. And he's looking, you know, like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we still have a business that I haven't collected on. I'm like, no, it's not about what's in the bank. It's not that. I mean, you know, they've done $500,000 in sales.
Wow.
Yeah. But again, it's just understanding that it is a vast difference between the two. And so more educating them on the business itself and how the business should be ran is a very, very common area.
Okay. Well, I know that sometimes a small business can have too much success.
Yes.
Especially if, you know, maybe their manufacturer, you know, they're selling like crazy and they're having tremendous sales and like that. But the manufacturer wants their money in 30 days and then the people that you've sold it to will send you their money in 60 days and you got this gap.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That can
keep. Timing's everything, right?
Absolutely.
Still back to the timing. Yeah. It's like, you know, I tell folks, you know, if you got this slow, steady growth, that's kind of good.
Absolutely.
But if it goes exponential, that could be a real problem.
It could be a very right. problem. I mean, one of the great thing, Ron, there, simply because you can spend your cash growing too fast, growing so fast that all your cash is being spent and you haven't given yourself the opportunity or your business the opportunity to find out what's wrong and what's right and, you know, focus more on what's right and isolate what's wrong, you know. And so you can find that happens very, very often, more often than not. And I've always taken the approach that the steady growth is the best approach.
Yeah, my favorite commercial from years ago was when these folks, you know, are in a warehouse and they have just put their website up and they're all huddled around the laptop.
Yes.
And they sit there and for a couple of seconds, nothing happens. And they're just kind of apprehensive. And it goes, bing, oh, we got an order. Isn't
that right, great? They're all excited. Yes.
And then it goes, bing, oh, two orders, that's good. Mm-hmm. And it goes, bing, 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 bing. They're like, they look at each other like what are we going to do now?
Yes. We haven't thought that far out.
That's right. Well, if you could just give one tip, one management tip, what would that be?
One management tip. Never give up. Business is something that's, yes, it's an emotional part because it's very passion driven, but it's a part of it that's going to define something or someone that you have never known about yourself. You know, it's going to bring something out of you that you've never known. It's nothing but growth. An opportunity, personal as well as professional. So my management tip is first and foremost, know for yourself. Know what you know, what you know, what you know. And what you don't know, you don't know. Never be afraid to fail. You know, failure is just a part of the course. You know, it's a learning experience. And I mean, I think one of my coin phrases for myself is never be afraid to be wrong. You know, I it was a point in my time when I was building that's all I wanted to do was be wrong. I mean, simply because it taught me what I was doing wrong. And that was the last of it. You know, once I found out what I was doing wrong,
right.
You know, the other side of it was right. And behind that right answer was a dollar.
That's right. There you go. Well, I think it was Henry Ford that said that most people stop and quit just inches from success.
Yes, 3 feet from gold.
Yes, I've heard that story.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, that's a great one. I think that particular mine's still producing.
Yes.
Okay. So, how can our listeners get in touch with you and learn more about your business?
They can go to our website, which is www.dmgworldwideinc.com, or they can give us a call 888-373-7812.
Okay. Well, Donnie, thanks so much for being on the show. Our listeners have really gotten some great nuggets and learnings that they can use in their launch and their journey after that.
I definitely thank you for having me, Ron.
It's been super. Was another great show, Lee.
And special thanks to today's sponsor, Patents & More, creating the currency of innovation since 2002.
And tune in each week at this same time as listen live or go to our website, The Launch Hour. .businessradiox.com to listen at your convenience. Until next week, I'm Ron Reardon with our producer Lee Cantor, signing off another great session of Launch.